Oh, that old rugged cross. Amen. And like I said during the announcements and stuff, I think this is the first time I've ever taught through from word to word, from cover to cover, the book of John. And I mean, I've read it 100 times. It's been a treasure to me to look at the deity of Christ. And this is the fourth gospel, which we know it's considered a dimensional gospel. And it starts out different than the other gospels. The other gospels start out with Jesus' physical life. It starts out with his heritage from this one begot that one, begot that one. It goes on down through the line until it comes to Christ. But this one here starts out even before all the begots began. Amen. And it starts out in the beginning. And so before we get into the beginning, let's go to the Lord that we can glorify him in and through this understanding. Father, we're grateful for it. I pray, Lord God, that as we open your word today, you would speak to us, that we could see your love, your grace. Oh, the power that's written in your word, Lord, the power to change hearts and help men to walk in righteousness, Father, that we could find that sure anchor, Lord, that does not move, that is absolutely solid. Lord, the cornerstone, Jesus, our Christ. And we thank you for him and for his word. And we ask those things in Christ's name. Amen. And so 1:1, in the beginning, praise God, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Praise God for that. Not that we didn't comprehend it, but understanding that Jesus Christ, the Word, because when we get over to verse 14, we're going to find out that the Word became flesh, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. But this word, in the very beginning, if you were to open up in Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, the first time, this is God said. Everything that God said all through the creation, and it happened, and it was good, that was Jesus Christ. The Father said it, the Spirit empowered them to do it, and they worked to create everything that was created. And even greater than that, When God said, let us make man in our own image, and he scooped up the dirt, and then he breathed into the nostrils of that dirt pile, that clay, he became a living soul. Every human being that was born or created from that point till now has a piece of that in them. There's a piece of God, a longing to know God. Our spirit, our body is alive, not because of your mom and dad and the splitting of the cells and the chemistry of it as this ambulance comes by, or fire truck, I think it's a fire truck. Father, I don't know where they're going, Lord Jesus, but I do know that they're on the way, that somebody's in desperate need. Father, I lift up those men, those women that are on that truck and where they're heading, Lord Jesus, that they could be instruments, Father, of safety, of help, a help in a time of need, Lord, and we thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so every time I hear a siren, you know, I know that they're not out running for a donut, you know, with lights on. So they have a job to do. And so, but he was in the beginning with God, and he was the life that was breathed into Adam. Adam was lifeless. He was just a wad of dust. God scooped up the dust and he breathed into that dust. And when he breathed into that dust, the light of life entered Adam. And from Adam, every life from that point forward has that breath. Let us make man in our own image is the thing. You are made in the likeness and the image of God. And he lighteth every man that cometh into the word. Yeah. And that same light that he breathed into every single human being, whether you agree with their theology or not, every single human being has that light. You know, they may be caught in the snare of Satan. They can't get out of it. They've been taught, they've understood, they believe something incorrectly. But we have got to learn to love that, the light of Jesus Christ that has breathed into every single human. It's, if we don't, I really think we lose more by hating than we ever will by loving. And we need to love them because Jesus is part of their life as much as anybody else's. And he was the light of men. Now that light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That lets me know that if you are born again, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's a supernatural thing. You did not come to the light because you were looking for the light. You may have saw the light, but you couldn't understand it. You couldn't comprehend it. None of these things are physically or understood by the things that are. We have faith. Faith is the substance,
the evidence
of things not seen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, right? And that our faith is that. 11:1, right? 11:1, yeah. 11:1. And so in there, in that understanding that God and God alone is the one who does these things, he illuminates your mind, he illuminates you. These things that are written in the Word of God can't be understood by those who do not have the illumination of Jesus Christ in them. Now that illumination, Jesus already said that he was the light that was breathed into every man. So every single human on the earth has the opportunity to know God. They do, because God wants them to know him. But we often prefer darkness rather than light. And we can find that in John chapter 3 when we get over there, where Jesus tells Nick, you must be born again. And then he goes into how you get born again. We will get to that as the time allows. But that light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Without the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand the light. You can't understand Christ. And so there was a man, he changes, sent from God, whose name was John. John the Baptizer, right? And you find his account of the way that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Luke, you can see how his father and his mother, Elizabeth, were way past bearing age. And his dad went to perform a priestly duty, the incense. And when he was in the incense area of the temple, Gabriel came and told him, hey, you're going to have a son. And he says, really? Come on. You got to be kidding. And he says, no, I'm not kidding. You're going to call his name John. And he is going to turn Israel back to God. He's the one that's going to make the pathway straight. And so we can, when we get into Luke later on, we'll get back into that. And so there was a man sent from, his name was John. The same came of to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right. John, again, the most powerful man short of Christ in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said there is no man born of a woman greater than John. All right. So this John, he was something. And from the very womb, he had the anointing of the Holy Ghost. From the time he was conceived until the time they took his head off, he was God's man. He was God's boy. And this man was fantastic in what he did. He never took the glory for himself. In fact, we'll find out that he was baptizing in the Jordan, and he had the most wonderful outfit on, a loincloth made of camel's hair. And he had a beard, and he ate locust and honey. All right, you have a beard, right? Now imagine if you were eating grasshoppers every day and washing them down with honey. It'd be a little sticky, don't you think? Yeah, just a little sticky, right? And so, and yours is a nice trim beard. I imagine his beard was more like Alan's beard. It's like a beard. Yeah, there are beards, and then there's beards. And so I imagine this man had a beard, right? And so, anyhow, I can imagine him in his loincloth baptizing people in the river. Right? Now, his call was to do that. He came not, he came only to bear witness of the light of Jesus and the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him, talking about the light, by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave to them, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All right? Catch this. Do you really want to be born again? Do you want it? God came to have you to be born again. He wants you to be. As many as receive Jesus Christ, as many as receive the light, as many as that come to him, he gives you the power. And it's a power to be born again. You can't be born again in and of your own will, in and of your own strength, in and of your own morality. You must trust the Spirit of God beyond what the physical eyes can see, beyond what your emotion feels. Because I know when I accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't feel anything. But something changed. Something on the inside of me. And the first thing that God took away from me was my potty mouth. All right? Because after I surrendered my life to him, when I said the word that was uncomely, it just felt bad in my mouth. Right? You just didn't even want to say those words anymore. And then through continual sanctification, things changed deeper as I went. But the first thing he took away was my potty mouth. And praise God, because I'd make a sailor clever as ears and run through the hills. I was a cursor. Not like on a computer. That's a different cursor. But anyhow. But he came into his, but they received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believing on the name of Jesus Christ is the beginning of your salvation. That's where you start. But you got to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right? When you cannot believe in and on yourself, in your own ability, believing is a gift of God. I don't know how a man believes these things, but when you have it, you believe it. Right? There's not a method or a serum or a theory that you can go on. You just start seeking God. If you really believe he is, you'll find him. Go ahead. He moves over. Yep. Unless the Father moves over you, you cannot be saved. Yep.
That's the initial.
Amen. That's the initial. Now, when he moves over you, you got a responsibility. You say yes or no. If you say yes, then God will start revealing to you more and more, deeper and deeper. And he gives you that power to believe on his name. And I like this in verse 13, which were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh. This is not something you can manufacture of yourself. You cannot make it happen. This is a gift of God. Lest any man boast, yet it is not of good works, lest any man boast. Being born again is a gift of God. It's not of the will of man, but of God. You could put the will in there, but the will of God. Go ahead.
I just noticed something kind of interesting in that. And this is real quick. In the first part, in 4 there, it says, in him was life.
Yes.
Jesus. And the life was the light of men.
Right.
That light there is life in itself.
Amen.
Not born again.
Right.
Because, and then what you just read, it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, which God knows everything, but still two people have to come together for
right.
you to be born. So that's the
that's the mechanics
that's
of it.
That's the light of the of life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. And
that's why when Nicodemus is talking to him, we
yeah.
see that flesh out.
Yeah.
Say,
amen.
How can I go back?
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
is talking to him about something.
And now that we have modern technology, they've actually captured on film where the seed enters the egg, there's a flash of light.
I'm sure.
When that happens, they've recorded it. And so when that happens, there's a spark.
Right here.
Amen. Right there. Right there. It's the light of it's light. It's the life of man. And
but not the spirit.
Not the spirit. No. This is just the natural life. Thing of it, right? The mechanics of it, as we'll call it, right? Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full, this plumb line, full, I've got it backwards, truth and grace. Full of grace and truth, right? Full of grace and truth. That plumb line that God has for you, This red line right here is believing that He is and that He loves you and He wants you to know Him. And when you want to know Him, you'll find out that He is full of grace and He's full of truth. He is absolute. He will never lie to you, and His love will never stop coming over you over and over and over again. He loves the world. Again, we'll get to that in John chapter 3 if we can get through John chapter 1. Amen. But that's okay. I'm in no rush here. And so, now John the Apostle and the other disciples, they saw Him. They saw His glory. So this is like an eyewitness account. All right, this isn't like me saying it. This is like the man who was actually there. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was filled with glory and that glory shined out. He was there. He saw Him. They handled the Word. In other words, they ate with Him. They were in the same vicinity of Him. They saw Him heal the blind and the lepers. They saw Him walk on the water. They saw Him feed 5,000 and 4,000. It was all part of their testimony. They saw Him rise from the grave. Or risen from the grave. They didn't see Him rise from the grave. They saw Him risen from the grave. All right, now, John, the baptizer, we're back at. He didn't see Jesus rise from the grave. He was passed away by then. And I don't know even if they had much growing up times together, because Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem, and John, where was he born?
Bethany.
He was born in Bethany, two different towns. And I don't know how often they traveled, because you didn't jump in your Volkswagen and travel over there. You know, you didn't get in your Lincoln and travel across the town. It was, yeah. I pray your camel always has two humps. And so, anyhow. But John bore witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And all of His fullness have all, and of His fullness have all we received grace for grace." Amen. So John the Baptizer is saying, listen, when you understand the grace of God, you get the grace of God. You receive it. All right. And it grows. It's from grace to grace. We received, and from grace for grace. And the law, which was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo! Boy, the law was good. I ain't got nothing against the law. I really don't. The law is great. The Ten Commandments are wonderful. Sacrificial system, it worked. But the fulfillment of those things came through Jesus. God being born of the Virgin. The Spirit of God, God the Father, being manifested in human form. God did come in human form and dwelt among us, was tempted in every way just like us, and yet without sin. And since He was without sin, tempted by all sin, He was the only lamb, the only sacrifice which was able to take away sin. Praise God. For it's when you start to wrap your mind around it, it is fantastic. The law was never meant to save people. It was only meant to guide you to the Savior. And when the Savior came through Christ Jesus, now we have the bridge that carries us over from the law into the grace of God. verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. All right? Every time that they saw God the Father, it was either a Christophany, that means Christ before he was born in the Old Testament. When you see the angel of the Lord, Joshua saw him, Melchizedek, without father, without beginning, without end, without a history or a past, would be a Christophany. There's several others I can come up with, but anyhow, they didn't see God in his glory. Go ahead, brother.
You know, one of the things that always strikes me about the Gospel of John, when you read this, it's like God is talking to a child.
Yes.
He says, in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
heaven was the Word.
Yes.
The Word, and it's like he's, and then when you get, like you said, mm-hmm. When you read through it and you start understanding like the implications
yes.
of all these things, you, it's just, it's like you can't
contain
to
it. Yeah, you can't
wrap your head around it.
You can't,
and he's
yeah.
talking to you like he's talking to a child.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly,
methodically, yes.
Methodically, simply.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
The simplicity of it, you can't even grasp.
You can
read it. Because
it's
beyond your comprehension.
You can read it 40 years later.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
be just
as awestruck
of what he is saying.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So simple and so childlike
yeah.
that you can, he say, okay, Kevin, slow down.
Slow down, yeah.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, and a lot of it just goes by me. And then when you contemplate what just was
mm-hmm.
said, you kind of stagger.
Yeah.
You can't because it's just...
And this is how we're supposed to witness to other people. Don't get me wrong. All of the end time prophecies and all the books of the Revelation, all that stuff is super duper important. But if we can't get people here, if we can't help people to understand this, the rest of it doesn't matter. It's too complicated. It is the milk of God. It is from the paps of God, the very essence of life. Here, yeah. Go ahead.
When you read it, when I remember feeling like you're entering a whole new world.
Yeah.
You're entering a whole concept. I still remember the reading that and just. You've stepped into another dimension.
Listen to this, you know, grasshopper.
Yeah.
Grasshopper.
Absolutely. Well, and it says, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. Even when Moses was on the mountain with God, God put him in the cleft of the rock. He said, you can see my hinder side, my backside. You can't see me face to face. Because if you saw my full glory, the sin, the man in you would dissolve. You would die. So here, let me protect you. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll walk by, and you can look at my backside, but you can't look at me face to face. When Jesus Christ came, you had the opportunity to look God eye to eye, face to face.
Touch him.
Feel him. Handle the Word of God. Amen? And so, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. In the heart of God is the Son. Right? And when I think of the bosom in the bosom, I think of that account of Lazarus and the rich man. Those who had trusted or believed by faith were in the bosom of Abraham. They were in the heart of Abraham. They're in the very deepest part. Jesus, the Christ, was in the heart, the very deepest part of God. And he was in flesh, all right? Verse 19, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou? that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Thank you. And so Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, you see this exact same thing. So if you were to read Isaiah 40, you know, go back and read that, you will see that God was preparing a way. And the prophet said that there's going to be one come before the Christ is made manifest to the world, made to see, that he is going to come and he's going to make some things right. He was going to call people to repentance. He was going to bring them a water baptism, you know, or to show the fruits worthy of repentance. And he was going to make straight. This church right here, I pray that if we do one thing and one thing only, we try to make straight the way to get the man-made thoughts and the man-made religious system pushed out of the way, that the righteousness of God can be easily grasped and understood, that the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, the might of his power could be so readily available to anybody who wants it. That's my heart's cry. I mean, I don't mind getting into the deeper theological things, but I said it Sunday, we can often get lost. We can miss the forest because of the trees, right? And that sounds crazy, but there's so many things in the forest, so much life in the forest. But if you're only looking at the tree, you miss the panoramic view of everything that's there, all of the life that's there, all of the movement that is in the forest. You can miss it if you only look at the tree. So often when we get into theological studies, big, deep, heavy things, we're staring so hard at the tree that we miss everything around it. I like to back up. I like a big, who's that painter we used to watch? Bob Ross. Bob Ross. Bob Ross, he says, and we'll make a happy little tree here and a little waterfall and a little, we'll make a rock live right here. That kind of stuff. It's the simple things, the love, the power, the might, the grace, the goodness of God that we can often miss when we super magnify things. Take a breath, back up and look at the fullness of God. And so, he said that he is the one, the voice that, of one crying in the wilderness to make straight the way, the way of the Lord, as Isaiah said, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, said unto them, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ or Elisha? It's not Elisha. Elijah.
No, that's Elijah.
Elijah, yeah.
23 is Isaiah.
Yep.
25, that's Elijah.
Yeah. What's it say? Elias. Yeah.
Elias. Right. That's referring to Elijah.
Okay.
The other one is
Esaias. Yeah.
Us?
Yeah.
Esaias?
Yep.
That's referring to Isaiah.
Isaiah, yep. And so, nor Elijah after that, or neither that prophet. And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. So that's like, you know, that Jesus was on the scene, but he was still disguised. He hadn't started his ministry yet. And that standeth among you whom you know not. And he it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to loose. Talk about a humble man. I'm not even worthy to be the least of the servants of the house to take his shoes off and wash his feet. These things were done in Bethsaida, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after he cometh, a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bear record and say, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he sent me to baptize with water. Excuse me. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So John, at the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit of God said to him, there's one coming, John. You're not in this alone. You don't know him yet, but you will recognize him when he comes, because I'm going to have where you can see it. Doesn't say anybody else saw it at this point in time. You'll see him coming. And when you see him coming, I'm going to have the Spirit like a dove. Don't think of a little dove flying around him. All right, like a dove coming and resting and staying on him. Abiding, staying with him. So John, when he's out baptizing, he sees Jesus coming. And he sees that very light, the Spirit, the dove-like Spirit come, and not just lighting on him, but staying on him. This is a different thing than what the Holy Spirit had done in the past. Every time that God needed something done or wanted to allow the Holy Spirit to work in somebody, you name the prophet, you name the man, you name the person, God would send the Holy Spirit, which would empower that individual for that particular purpose, and then he would go on and do about his business, the man and the Spirit of God. They wouldn't stay together continually. There's a few that did. Samson, but when you look at his life, it's really, I have a hard time reckoning that, but God says it did. Right, so God says it did. That's all that matters to me. All right, and there's mine drew a blank, but I know that Samson was one of them. All right, and so, but this here was different because the Spirit came and it abode on him. It stayed with him. And John says, "I didn't know him. I knew him not. He that sent me to baptize with water." Now, who sent John to baptize with water? The Lord. Well, it was before Jesus, but God. It was God the Father, the Spirit of God, speaking to John the Baptist and saying, this is your call, John. You're going to come before the Christ, the Messiah. You're going to make straight the pathway. You're going to remove all the stones that are in his way. And you're going to start the work of a new work. And you're going to be out there baptizing with water and preaching repentance. But there's going to come one after you that's not only going to preach repentance, but he's going to give the Spirit of God that the individual may be able to live in the state of repentance. Do you understand that? When you have the Spirit of God indwelling in you, you're able to live in a state of repentance. It's continual in you. The Spirit unctions you. He drives you. He shows you what is right, what is wrong. And he moves in you, continually showing you what is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going to send the Comforter, and he's going to guide you. John 16. And he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to remind you what I did. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so this is a new thing that's happening. In all of history, throughout all of men, and John was the first one to see it, to recognize it, and he saw it and recognized it because God the Father spoke to John before he started the baptism of repentance. And so, verse 32, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said to them, Come and see. And they come and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, depending on which clock you're using, the Roman clock would have said it's about 10 o'clock a.m., but in the Jewish clock, it would have been about 4 p.m. Yep. So, and since this is a Jewish record, I would tend to that. So it was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, all right? And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus heard him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. And thou shalt be called Cephas, Cephas being interpreted, a stone. Again, if you go to Matthew 16:18, not saying that you need to go there, but when Jesus had sent out his disciples and they came back and Jesus asked them, What do men say of me? What do men say about the Christ? Some said that you're Elijah, some said that you're Jeremiah, some said that you're one of the other prophets. But Peter said, No, you're the son of God. Of the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus said to Peter, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And he said, Upon this rock I will build, upon this Cephas, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so that day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, Follow me. I like it that he didn't spend a lot of time witnessing. He said, Hey, Phil, follow me. Hey, Andrew, you want to see where I'm living? Come check me out. And they came, checked him out. Peter, when you go into the other Gospels, and I guess we need to do that, go into the other Gospels and see how the disciples came to him. Off the top of my head, I think it's Matthew chapter 4. Because this is, we're changing gears here. And so, man should not live by bread alone. That's his temptation, his baptism. All right. Yeah, because it really didn't get into the baptism of Christ. I don't want to go too much further without getting into that. So if we would just flip over to Matthew, because this is all in that same time period when John saw him. But Matthew has an account, the account of how he was baptized. And are you there? Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out him to Jerusalem and to Judea and to all the region around the Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee of the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able to raise of these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose winnowing whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the gatherer, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and to John to be baptized of him. Can you see where those parallel with each other? The things that were happening, that the Pharisees came and talked to John. This is, and Matthew is just a little more in depth, and John is more of the spiritual side. You're only seeing God. See, in John, it doesn't show, or Matthew, it doesn't show you that John saw the Spirit of God resting on him, the Holy Spirit of God resting on him. It goes into more of the detail of how he talked with the Pharisees, which was really a nice way to converse with them, right? You brood of vipers, who hath warned you? Then he says, show meat, therefore, worthy of repentance. When you come to the knowledge of God, there should be a meat worthy of repentance. There should be something that you're coming and saying, yes, God, I need to repent, and this is what I'm repenting of. And it's a three-letter word, sin, or you can do a two-letter word, me. All right? I'm repenting of my heart's desire. I'm repenting of the things that I did that I know that broke your law. I repent of those things, and I need you to cleanse me, to restore me, to fill me. And then God does that for you because you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not that you can do it of your own, but you do it as the Spirit of God moves over you. And then Jesus gets baptized Matthew chapter 3 still. He said, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest unto me. See, John knows that he needed the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, the one that was sent by God to make straight. He said, there's something more. There's more than just going through the motions. I need the fullness of the power of God to be laid on me. And Jesus said, in verse 15, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And then Jesus was baptized, and straightway he went out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. Praise God. That was the things that John doesn't tell you about as you get into the next chapter. But I wanted to go back to Matthew and cover this same portion of Scripture because it's a little deeper, right? It's a little deeper than what we're talking about. Then just calling the disciples, we could go a little bit further. And you can see Peter at the waterside, and he tells him to push out a little bit. He'd been fishing all night. Tells him push out and drop his nets again. And Peter says, come on, man. No, don't you know I've been fishing all night? I've caught nothing. And Jesus says, trust me. And he says, okay, since you said it, I'll do it. He goes out a little bit, he drops the net, and he catches so much fish that it almost knocks his boat over. He has to call the rest of his crew to come help him to bring it all in. When you meet God, he meets your need in an abundance. Amen? Jesus said, I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. This is so great, the way that God does these things. And you need to read all four of the Gospels in the harmony of the Gospels, because they do tell you a story from four different directions of the very same accounts. And it's a beautiful thing when you wrap all four of them together. And so Jesus is calling them to follow him. And Philip, verse 44 of John chapter 1, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? It doesn't matter where you're from. Nazareth was can any good thing come out of Rochester? You know, you put your city name in there. Can any good thing come out of Enterprise, Alabama? Can anything good go into Mobile, Alabama? No. Wait a minute. Oh, and Philip said, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. So Nathanael, that says some things about Nathanael. There's no guile in him. There's no dishonesty in him. And Jesus sees that. And he professes it. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under a fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Amen. That confession right there. The teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the King of my heart. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. So there's a, didn't think I'd get through the whole chapter, but I did. You know, I was thinking about quitting a little bit. I said, there's just one or two verses more. Let's get that through. When you come to Jesus Christ, when you hear about him, when somebody brings you to him and that he illuminates you, he calls you by his name, when you surrender your life to him, you will see greater things than the day you first accepted him. Amen? Yep. That's that song we sing it often, or I say about it a lot. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he goes. You know, the more that I love him, more love he bestows. I've been walking with God for over 20 plus years now and studying his word. And I have never been left empty from him. I've only been made fuller and fuller and fuller. He never leaves you empty. He never leaves you the same. And I have seen the angels of God rising and descending. The Spirit of God moving in and on and through men, women, children. And it is a miracle. It's a miracle the way that God moves. Amen. And so praise God for that. Next week we'll start chapter 2. Lord willing. Any prayers? Who wants to close in prayer? Amen. Dear Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord God. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the way that you laid out in the book of John, your righteousness, your holiness, your goodness, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we continue this teaching, Lord, Father, as we continue these understanding these words as they penetrate our hearts and our minds, we will indeed see the angels of God, Father, moving in us, calling us to be closer to you. Building our faith, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would meet us in the middle of our need, Father, and you would fill us, you would fill our every need with the presence of the Most High God. Lord, we thank you for it, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.